Are going to come and read for us from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And this can be found on page 1092 of the Church Bibles. Thank you, Janet.
Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. While they were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. Then they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Surprises. Are you the sort of person that loves them or hates them? My mum, in general, is not a fan of surprises. Unless, of course, it involves being taken out to a really nice restaurant or being given an amazing bunch of flowers. So you'd be forgiven for thinking that my brother, sister, and I were really unwise in our choice of birthday present last October. My parents had gone to Australia on holiday for a month. Happened to be over my mum's birthday, and with the house empty, we decided that it would be quite amusing to get mum the 100 duck challenge and to set it up ready for her return. So, a few days before they arrived home, my nieces, nephews, sister, brother, let themselves into my parents' house for what has affectionately been termed since Duck Day. This involved hiding 100 mini little ducks all over the house, inside, outside, the garage, the two sheds, everywhere, leaving them there for mum to find once she'd got back home. After 30 hours of travelling, Mum and Dad went straight to bed when they got home and were most confused when they found the first duck tucked in my mum's pillowcase. They hadn't even found the instructions. They were so confused. The surprises continued as they combed the house, and after a couple of days, had only managed to find 35 ducks. After a week, they'd found 47 and were probably frustrated and plotting how they would retaliate. Once they'd reached 65 and lined them all up in the kitchen, the regular updates on our family WhatsApp chat ground to a halt. When I went to stay with them a couple of weeks ago, I was surprised that the ducks that they'd found were no longer sitting on that wee ledge in the kitchen. Where were they? Dad explained. They'd been moved to the very top of a bookcase in the dining room so that they were out of reach. Apparently, my nieces and nephews had taken to rehiding a few every time they went to visit. This bookcase, the ducks on the bookcase were even too high for me to reach. But I didn't tell my mum or dad that I watched while I was there my mischievous brother, who's a bit taller than me, surreptitiously reach up and take a few while they thought nobody was watching. It is the gift that 7 months later just keeps on giving. Sometimes surprises can be great. I love receiving an unexpected chocolate bar through the post. But surprises can also be sometimes disorientating, confusing. Perhaps something unexpected has happened to you, and you've found yourself in a new reality, struggling to make sense of it all. This is the sort of situation that the disciples were in. Jesus had been crucified, and the disciples' world had been turned upside down. The man that they had left behind everything to follow for the last 2 or 3 years, the one that they'd seen do miracles, the one that taught with such authority, the one that they saw as the Son of God, the Messiah, the one that they were hoping would save the world, the one who had chosen them and called them by name, had been killed in a horrific way, and all their hopes and dreams had come crashing down. Yet just days into their mourning, surprise, everything had changed again. Jesus was risen. He was alive. But things didn't go back to the way they had been. They couldn't. Everything had changed. Nothing made sense anymore. Jesus wasn't with them all the time as he had been. He would just appear, seemingly at random. The disciples weren't prepared. They were at a loss as to what it all meant and what they were to do. For 40 days, they'd been grappling with the joy of Jesus being resurrected and amongst them again. The relief that everything that Jesus had said about himself was true. But yet not knowing what was to come. They could probably sense that something different was on the horizon, but they were still clinging to their long-held hope of the Messiah defeating their oppressors and restoring the kingdom of Israel. They didn't know what was happening, what they were supposed to do, what their lives would become. Was Jesus always going to be with them in this way? Would he keep appearing and disappearing without them knowing when or where? How could they follow him if they didn't know when to expect him to appear? Where were they to follow him to? Did they need to continue to hide from the Romans and the Jewish leaders, afraid for their lives? Into this time of confusion, Jesus tells them to wait. To wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is the gift promised by God. The one who is going to give them the power that they need to fulfill the jobs that Jesus has for them to do. This waiting is not to be a passive, doing nothing sort of waiting. The sort of waiting where you sit idly by and expect things to just happen around you. The waiting for a new job without actually ever looking or applying for one. The waiting for your house to get cleaned by watching the dust dance across the TV screen. The waiting for a difficult relationship situation to change without making the first move. The waiting for ducks to be found without searching for them. No. Jesus doesn't ask them to do nothing. He asks them to actively wait. To wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit. To wait for the power that would enable them to do the next thing. It's a waiting with purpose. With intent. It's active. It's the sort of waiting where you get your perspective in order, where you recognize that it's not all about us. It's about God. So we have to relinquish control. It's a waiting where we grow in humility. It's also a waiting where we are not alone. Jesus' followers didn't scatter into their own homes. They waited together. They were a community united in their waiting. They shared their confusion with each other, their hopes, their joy, their questions, their stories, their waiting. And as they waited together, they prayed together. It's possible that the upper room that they were staying in, waiting and praying in, was that same upper room that they held the Last Supper in before the crucifixion. So you can perhaps imagine what memories and emotions were stirred simply by the place they were in. They didn't know how long they had to wait for. All sense of time had probably gone out of the window by then. They just persevered together in prayer, waiting in hope. But Jesus didn't only tell them to wait. He also told them what their task was to be once they had received the power of the Holy Spirit. They were to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They were to tell people about Jesus, to witness to all he had done, to share the stories of how he fed the 5,000, healed the lame, gave sight to the blind, calmed the storm, turned water into wine, advocated for systems of justice and compassion, turned the tables in the temple, died on the cross, and rose again for our salvation. They were to share the love of Jesus in word and action, to continue his work on earth. But that witnessing wasn't just to be to their fellow Jews, those in their communities, to the people that they'd been meeting over the last 3 years with Jesus, to their children. It was to be to all people across the world, to those that they knew and those that they didn't, to those that they liked and those that they didn't, to those that thought and acted like them, and to those who were different, to those that had persecuted them, to those in far off lands. Now that was something of a surprise. For up until then, it was thought that the Messiah would come to save the Israelite nation. The disciples were left wondering, how could they possibly fulfill that task? Why couldn't Jesus do it for them? Where was Jesus going to be while they were undertaking it? And it's at this point in the story when the disciples are left totally surprised. Jesus is taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They stand staring at the sky. Where's he gone? Is he coming back? Is that a foot I see? And as if that wasn't enough, two angels in white then appear and ask the obvious question, why do you stand here looking into the sky? They then explain that Jesus has ascended. He's left earth and returned to heaven. We often don't focus on Jesus' ascension. We perhaps spend our time thinking more about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and then the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And we miss out this strange occurrence that has led to all sorts of strange art with Jesus' feet dangling from the sky. But maybe we should. Because without the ascension, we'd still be waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Without the ascension, Jesus wouldn't be on the throne. The ascension clearly shows us that Jesus' earthly ministry is complete. He's done all he came to do. And now his ministry continues from his throne in heaven. We are assured that Jesus is on the throne. The angels also tell the disciples that Jesus will come back again. In the same way that he ascended. Now, this doesn't mean literally that Jesus will come back feet first from a cloud over the Mount of Olives to a small group of people gathered there. Jesus' return will be personal. He will return in his resurrected body. But it will not be private. When he comes back again, every eye will see him. We have no idea when it will be, but we can be sure that it will, that he will come again. The disciples thought that his return would be in their lifetime, but we are still waiting. There is a task for us to do in the meantime. We are not simply to look at the sky waiting. We're to follow Jesus' instructions, to wait in hope, to pray together, and to be witnesses to the gospel. It's tempting when we're given a task to do to create strategic action plans of how we're going to accomplish the task, to create vision statements that people can get behind, to create goals and measurable performance indicators. Our vision is Jesus. Jesus, who is on the throne, seated at the right hand of the Father. It's Jesus' job to reign. Our job is to follow him, to recognize his rule in the whole of our lives, not just the parts that we're comfortable letting him into. We look to Jesus. We wait. We actively wait and pray to be empowered and led by the Spirit. And through our waiting and praying, we witness to who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And we wait and we pray for Jesus to come again. So today, this Ascension Sunday, may we all see Jesus on the throne. And may we accomplish the task that he has given us, to wait in hope, to pray, and to be witnesses to the gospel until he comes again. Amen.